Senator, as always, it's a privilege. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Tom. How you doing?
Good. I'm loaded with questions. You ready?
I'm ready.
So do you think there should be an end to the Electoral College?
I've said that for a long time. It just didn't start last week. Years ago, Republican Congressman Ray LaHood and I came out before the presidential election. He, Republican, myself, Democrat, saying the Electoral College is just some ancient piece of history that makes no sense anymore. If a majority of the American people have chosen a president, so be it. That's the way it ought to be. And we've reached a point now where we have this jockeying for position in a dozen states, and presidential candidates ignore all the rest. They should take their case to the American people across the country, and the majority winner in that contest should be the president. I think Electoral College is an ancient idea whose time is long overdue.
And, you know, it's interesting because New Mexico, some other states have voted to say, look, we're going to give our electoral votes to whoever wins the most, whatever the popular vote is. But you talk about, you know, the origin of this. I mean, it was described as the Electoral College as a way to fight the tyranny of the majority, that if 51% believes something, the other 49% are still represented. And to say, like, New Mexico, say, well, California votes this way, but every single person in New Mexico votes another way, that those votes would go to California, whoever they say. I'm troubled by that aspect.
Well, I can just tell you this. There are states that presidential candidates will never set foot in during the course of their campaigns because they're already assumed, well, we know how California is going to go. Well, we know how Alabama is going to go. And so you just don't even take the campaigns there. And what that means is the people, the voters in that state, are not engaged in the process, and they should be. You know, this should be a contest, just as it is in Illinois, for the election of a senator or a governor, where the majority rules. I don't think it's tyrannical. I think it is contrived to say, well, some states are going to have more valuable votes than other states. Baloney. Every American vote should count for the same.
The Mueller report released next week, but of course the Attorney General on Capitol Hill and saying yesterday that he believes the Trump campaign may have been spied on, and then you've got the prospect of the Mueller report redacted to a certain level released next week. Your thoughts there?
Well, let me say from the outset, I said this. I stand by Mueller and what he did in his inquiry. If we don't interfere with him, let's let it finish, and whatever he says, I'll stand by. I still have that position today. And best I can tell, there was no interference. He finished his inquiry. Now I think we have a right, as the American people who paid for it, been waiting expectantly for it for a year and a half or longer, to see it. And I'm hoping that Attorney General Barr will provide as much as possible to the American people about what he found. Remember, at the heart of this was the Russian interference in our election. We still face that prospect. What are we going to do to protect our right to vote and our democracy? I think that Mueller report can help us reach that conclusion. As far as the culpability of the president one way or the other, that's going to be resolved by prosecutors who still have cases and other people in history. But in terms of protecting the next election, I want to know what Mueller found.
What about this accusation, or at least the thought from the Attorney General, the Trump campaign was spied upon?
Well, here's what it boils down to. Spying is an incendiary word. If the FBI suspected Russian interference in the campaign and believed that some person in anybody's campaign, Hillary Clinton's or Donald Trump's campaign, was involved in that, they would get involved in investigation and surveillance, and we would expect them to. Is that spying? Well, I guess technically you could call it that, but would we ask anything less of the people who are in charge of keeping our government intact and our rights intact, right to vote and choose the next president? Now, I think Barr's choice of words was terrible. If there was an allegation that the Russians were using anybody's campaign, I think the FBI had a responsibility to look into it.
Immigration records indicated this week 103,000 in March, 35% increase over the previous month. Now, the last time you and I, time before last when you and I talked, you said it's not a crisis. If this isn't a crisis, what number is?
Well, I can tell you we've had larger numbers in the last few years, but it is worrisome. It is a challenge. Yesterday, there was a small meeting. Five Democratic senators met with five folks from the White House, including the president's chief of staff, to talk about what we can do. And I think we ought to look at it in a bipartisan and constructive way. At the heart of this is the fact that three countries, Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, are overwhelmingly sending us these people? What is going on in these countries? The first question to ask is, cutting them off in terms of any assistance for law enforcement in our best interest in the United States? I don't think so. The president called for that. I think that's a step in the wrong direction. We ought to be saying we're working with these countries to stop the flow of people who are spending their life savings to spend 5 days in a bus to get to the border and try to get in the United States. That has to be slowed down. We've got to have legitimate entry points, but we've got to have them policed. We cannot accept everyone who wants to come in this country.
Well, one of our listeners just texted in the studio and said, Tom, I just Googled what Medicare, when Medicare would run out. That's 2026. Could you ask the senator, how in the world can we give it to all? We have one senator that thinks people who enter this country illegally should receive benefits. I personally paid into the system all my working life. This is from Ricky this morning.
Well, I can tell Ricky, we agree more than we disagree. First, people who are here illegally, undocumented, should not be entitled to the same benefits as Americans, period. Secondly, Medicare for all is a theory. It's a concept. My colleague Bernie Sanders is going to roll it out today, I think, with some detail. I'm nervous about that because the overwhelming majority of people listening to your show this morning get their health insurance through their employer, and they may particularly like the doctor and hospital that they have. I don't want to take that away, and the notion that we would do that precipitously makes no sense. Here's what I favor. I think we ought to extend eligibility for Medicare to age 50. That's when people start worrying about whether or not they can make it to 65 to get to Medicare. But it ought to be a separate program, separately funded, so it doesn't have a negative impact on traditional Medicare, and see if you voluntarily want to sign up for it. That would be your choice. Now, the caller really put his finger on the challenge for all of us. We've got 7 years of solvency left in Medicare, and I think 15 years of solvency in Social Security. Those programs are essential for people who are looking forward to retirement and those living in retirement. We've got to come together on a bipartisan basis and find a way to make Medicare stronger in the years to come. One way is to make sure that we not overcharge on prescription drugs. That's something that should be done and done effectively. There ought to be competitive bidding for any pharmaceutical company that wants to sell into Medicare so we can bring these prices down and make Medicare solvent longer.
When you were questioning people in the Department of Agriculture yesterday about SNAP benefits for 8,000 disabled and elderly in the state, it seemed like you got a pretty definitive answer yesterday.
Boy, I sure did. I'm new to this committee. I've been on Agriculture Appropriations, but now I'm on the Agriculture Committee, and they had a hearing on child nutrition. We have these support living centers, 15 or so of them, around the state of Illinois. And I can tell you, the seniors and people with disabilities who go there, it is a lifeline. They're happy to be there with their friends. They have a nice day together. They share lunch together, and they go back home and look for tomorrow's opportunity. The way the lunch is served is that some of them will give their food stamps, their SNAP benefits, so that they can buy the macaroni and cheese and prepare the meals for the folks. And there was a question in the Department of Agriculture as to whether or not this was an abuse of the system. There's no abuse. These people are entitled to these food stamp benefits. They pool their food stamps. They have a common feeding place. And I got two positive answers yesterday from the Department of Agriculture that said, we are not going to go after these seniors. And we're going to let you know, Senator, if anybody raises this question in the future. I think that'll be a source of some relief to a lot of people across our state.
Another listener just texted in the studios. Pete from DuCoin says, could you please ask the senator if he is in favor of a popular vote, if he's also in favor of a national voter United States citizen-only ID card for voting? No illegals, no felons. You have to produce a national ID voter to be able to vote.
Well, I don't know what that national ID would look like at this point. And the problem we have is getting one issued in time for elections. Each state establishes whether or not the people who vote there are legal. For example, when I go in my voting place in Springfield, you know, they're going to ask me for information about where I live. They're going to compare my signature with the one on the records, and off we go. Overwhelmingly, people do not cheat in our system. They just don't. And I don't want to impose new standards in here on some perceived problem that just doesn't exist. I don't want any voter fraud, but when we start adding new requirements for voting and reducing the opportunity of time to vote, we make it more difficult for people. people. Why make it hard? If you are legally entitled to vote, it shouldn't be a hardship. It should be something you should be able to do.
I know we're going a little bit over time, and you've got other appointments. Do you have time to talk about the Working Families Tax Relief Act?
Sure do.
Tell people about this. This was just introduced. Nobody's talking about this.
Here's what it boils down to. We did tax reform last year, and I voted against it. Why? We created a $1 trillion hole in our national debt to give tax breaks primarily to people with the most money in America. That is upside-down thinking. Of the people who are listening to your show this morning, a lot of them are working hard every darn day and struggling paycheck to paycheck. So a number of us come together and said, why don't we help these families? These are working families who need a helping hand, particularly if they have kids. So what we've done is to come up with a proposal to extend the earned income tax credit for actual workers and the child tax credit for those who have children. Ask anybody that's in your audience has little kids how important daycare is and how expensive daycare is. If we can give these families a helping hand, that makes sense. I would rewrite and recast that tax code reform that we passed. The wealthy are doing just fine, thank you. But the working families across our country need a helping hand.
I told you this interview was going to be loaded with opportunity.
It sure was, Tom.
Senator Dick Durbin. Senator, I kept you a little longer than I was supposed to, but I appreciate every minute.
I'm glad your listeners are tuned in and they're texting. It makes a difference. Thank them for being part of the program, too.